Well, I think it's obvious by now that the theme of our worship service is shepherds. We lit the shepherd's candle. Thank you, Dale family. And we have sung a lot of songs about the shepherds. And now I'm going to ask you a question. Why does God announce the birth of the Messiah, the Son of God, to these shepherds? You know, they had zero status in the land of Israel. They were at the low end of the totem pole. They were at the bottom rung. And they were basically looked down upon by pretty much everyone. But isn't that just like God? To go to the weak, to go to the ones with no status, to go to the ones that are insignificant. Because even as Mary sang in her beautiful Magnificat, she said, "He has put down the mighty from their seats, and he has exalted the ones of low degree." Always and forever, in a counterintuitive way, God is reaching out to the weak, the people that the world despises, and he comes to them. Well, let's do a little history of shepherding in the Bible. Okay, who was the first shepherd in the Bible? Come on. That's not coming to you, is it? I see somebody mouthing the word Abel. Abel. Yeah, there's a guy, and he was a shepherd. We know all about him because he offered a sacrifice from his flock. So Abel, you could say, was the first shepherd. Well, then you fast forward a little bit into the history of the Bible and the people of Israel, and we see Abraham as a shepherd, and we see Isaac and Jacob as a shepherd. And Jacob and Israel, they go to Egypt, and they land up there for 400 years. And you'll recall the story that they land up in a certain place. The Pharaoh assigns them the verdant lands of Goshen because they're shepherds. And also he wants them separate from the rest of the Egyptians. Because guess what? The Egyptians looked down on the shepherds. They were a stinky lot, and they didn't want to have anything to do with associating with them. Thank you very much. So they got relegated to the land of Goshen, and they were shepherds by and large. And so you see that the people of Israel should have been honoring the role of shepherd within their own society. So why was shepherding so very important? See, they were shepherding goats, and they were shepherding cattle, and they were shepherding sheep. Well, you're all familiar with the story of the Exodus, you know, where there was a lamb that was sacrificed at Passover. Well, you'll see, if you look in your Bible, in Exodus, I believe it's chapter 12 and verse 5, that each family was to take a first year male lamb without blemish, and they were supposed to sacrifice that, and they would take the blood of that lamb and they would put it on their doorposts so that when the angel of death would come to their home, he would literally pass over that home, so that the sword of the Lord would not touch that family. Now, of course, in all of Egypt, there was great weeping and mourning because the angel of the Lord destroyed the firstborn son throughout the homes of Egypt, because Egypt, and Pharaoh especially, was hard-hearted and would not let God's people go. So with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, the Lord of hosts leads his people, but they were to make a sacrifice. They were to give this first-year lamb without blemish. Well, we've already talked about the fact that the shepherds were greatly despised because, yeah, they were a dirty lot, let's be honest. They're getting down and dirty with the sheep and the goats, and there's a lot of dung and a lot of stinkiness going on. Now, of course, they weren't looked down upon by everybody. They probably had their families, and their families saw it as an honorable profession. What I'm talking about is the Jewish leaders, okay? The spiritual leaders, actually, metaphorically speaking, the shepherds of Israel were looking down on the literal shepherds of Israel. Huh? Because, unfortunately, they saw too much in themselves that they put status before anything else. We're priests. We're leaders in the land. We know the law and we know God. And these stinky shepherds, these illiterate shepherds, they are not only a nasty lot, but they're constantly helping in the delivery of lambs from the ewes. And so they were defiled with blood. Now the scripture talks about the fact that anyone who comes in constant contact with blood is separate and is defiled in a way, and they have to go through a ritual of cleansing. Well, that's okay if you only come into contact with that very rarely, but that's the problem with shepherds. They're dealing with this on a daily basis, so there's hardly a way for them to be seen as clean in the eyes of the religious leaders. And so the religious leaders had just relegated them to the lowest social status. In fact, in a Jewish court of law, a shepherd's testimony was invalid. They were disqualified from being witnesses because of their unclean nature and because of the unclean work that they were doing. How very sad. That's the situation of the average shepherd in Israel at that time. Now, they were greatly needed because there would have been tens and hundreds of thousands of sheep that were required for the particular sacrifice at Passover, for sure. But not only that, if you're familiar with the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, you know that there are sacrifices at numerous times of the year. And sometimes any lamb, male or female, was required. You'll even recall that Mary and Joseph needed to make a sacrifice at the temple on the eighth day when Jesus was circumcised. And the scripture makes a provision that's supposed to be a lamb. But if you were poor, you could give a couple of turtle doves, which, as a commentary, shows you that Mary and Joseph were poor. They didn't have two dimes or denarius to rub together. And they gave that. Because that which opened the womb, according to the scripture, the firstborn male, was holy unto the Lord. So Jesus comes into the world as the Son of God, and the angels are declaring this to who? The shepherds. These unclean, socially insignificant people whose testimony was discounted, remember, by the Jewish leaders. And God comes to them. And the angels declare to them on the hills surrounding Bethlehem, "Ah, for unto you this day is born in David's town a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Wow. Jesus is coming to the weak. He is coming to the lowly. The proud, so to speak, have been disposed of, and they've been thrown down. And in their place, the weak, the insignificant, those who have no status, are drawn up. What a beautiful picture that is, because that's the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel for you and for me today is, come as you are. See, religion says you got to clean yourself up first. You got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You got to be somebody in order for God to love you. That's what religion says. But the gospel is, no. Come as you are, weak and lowly. Jesus invites us to come, regardless of our status. In fact, if we have status in this world, he's calling us to let go of that. If we think much of ourselves, he's actually inviting us to let go of that. As a false god, as a false idol. He's wanting to come and invite us as the weak vessels that we are. You know, these shepherds were looked down upon by the ruling elites, by the priestly class. And isn't it interesting? You're not wanted by the people who think so much of themselves until you're needed by the people who think so much of themselves. And here's the weird kind of a thing. The Jewish priestly class had a need for these shepherds because of all the sacrifices that had to be made. And if you know anything about how the Jewish priestly class did their stuff back in the day, they were precise, and it was all according to order and plan. They had rules upon rules upon rules. See, they needed these firstborn, unblemished male lambs for ritual sacrifice. So they would take, these priests would take cloths that would have them made in a ceremonially proper way, and they would provide them to these poor shepherds. And these poor shepherds then were expected to assist at the birth of these lambs and to wrap them tightly and then to lay them in a manger where they would be inspected for blemish. Think about that. When the angel said, "And this shall be a sign to you in Bethlehem's town. You will see the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." That was a clue to them. Wow. This babe, this Messiah, this coming of God in Emmanuel would be like a lamb wrapped tightly without blemish. And they went to Bethlehem's town, and they looked for that manger in an inn, and there they found Mary and Joseph there, looking at their beautiful baby in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And they worshiped Jesus. And then they went out, and they did exactly what the song says. "We went and told on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born." Jesus Christ is the one who came, the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. And this is how we know that God loves us. He came to us, and in Christ, he died for us. Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sin, the perfect, unblemished lamb. So that when Jesus came at the inauguration of his ministry to be baptized by his cousin John, John says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." My brothers and sisters in Christ, in this season, as we anticipate the advent of the coming of the Lord, let us get our hearts on Jesus. Let us worship him, for he is the perfect Lamb of God who has made a way for us to be reconciled to the Father.